And it's so good to be with you here in Madison High School in Madison Township in Butler County. I live down in on the east side of Cincinnati, actually in an area called Milford. I don't know if you know where that's at. It's about a 45-minute drive. And I listened to Dallas Holm all the way up here today. And it was a great, great time in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got your Bibles this morning, I do want you to turn, or you can see it on the screen behind us, to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because I believe that God is able, willing, and wants to answer our prayer. He wants to answer our prayer. We don't have to be shy about praying, not in the least, because God wants to answer our prayer. So in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning there with verse 20, it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering him, said, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away.' And so Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" How many of you have faith in God this morning? Have faith in God. And then in verse 23, and this is in the red letters. And by the way, Darren said this morning that when I got up here, it'd be business as usual. When Cliff Myers preaches, it's never business as usual. And so it's not going to be business as usual this morning. "For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to the mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks." How many of you believe that? Amen. That's a powerful, bold statement from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then verse 24 says, "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." That's broad, isn't it? That's big. That's mighty. That's glorious. I love that verse of Scripture. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What a bold statement that came from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you've got notes this morning, and most of you probably received the notes when you came in, I want you to know that in the notes I've asked the question, or maybe I put it as a statement in there, I've asked the question, who was Jesus talking to? He wasn't talking to the multitudes. He wasn't talking to the masses. He wasn't talking to the large crowds. He was talking to his disciples. How many of you this morning would say you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Say amen. Then you are a disciple of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now it's very interesting, if you take your Bible, just stick your finger there, and you flip over there to Luke's Gospel in chapter 9 in verse 23. He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Let him deny himself. Did you catch that? We're not to elevate ourselves. We are to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. I'm going to take you back this morning, and I want you to take a journey with me, and I hope I don't fall off of here. I'm going to take a journey this morning. I don't know, does everybody else sit when they preach? I don't sit when I preach. I usually carry a big stick. Someone said, "Speak softly, but carry a big stick." How many of you remember the movie about Buford Pusser down in Tennessee? Walking tall. Now, my big stick is not as big as his big stick, but it's a big stick. This is actually a walking stick. I'm calling it my staff this morning, and I want to take you back to a time about 50 years before Jesus Christ. It's the intertestamental period, because if you're a scholar of God's Word, if you read God's Word, you're going to know that from the time that the book of Malachi ends in the Old Testament to the time that we have the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are about 400 years that pass. 400 years without a preacher. Can you imagine such a thing? Maybe you're saying, yeah, I can imagine 10 minutes without one. 400 years without a prophet. It was during that time that we're going to look at a man who really wasn't a prophet, but he was a very, very important man who lived outside the city gates of Jerusalem. You say, how do you know this? Because Malachi ended, and then we don't have anything written in the Bible until the beginning of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, right? How do I know this? Because it's written, it's recorded historically. So we're going to jump back in the history books, and we're going to look at a man by the name of Josephus, and we're going to look at a book called the Jewish Book of Legends. It's part of the Talmud, and you may say, well, what is the Talmud? Well, the Talmud is the law, and the Talmud are the traditions by which the Jews lived. And there is a man that has written a lot of Jewish history by the name of Flavius Josephus. Flavius Josephus is an interesting guy. He was very accurate in his writings. Let me tell you that Flavius Josephus did not try to rewrite history. We have some in the United States of America today that are trying to what? Rewrite our history. And we need to remember our history and learn from our history, but not rewrite our history. Well, Flavius Josephus didn't rewrite history, but he wrote history, and it's very interesting because in his writings, he talks about those who are miracle workers, and he talks about those who, I guess you could say, they pretend to be miracle workers. And he's not very kind to those who pretend to be miracle workers. Now, I don't pretend to be a miracle worker this morning, but Flavius Josephus said, he said, those people are deceivers and they are enchanters. Deceivers and enchanters. I don't really believe in miracle workers. I don't believe in miracle healers. But I believe in the miracle of healing. Amen? I don't believe in faith healers, but I believe in healing by faith. I've seen it happen too many times. I could tell you hundreds of stories where people have been miraculously healed by faith in Almighty God. But we're going back to the Book of Legends. And in the Book of Legends, there is a man that Josephus says, now remember, Josephus said most of those miracle workers, most of those miracle workers were, they were deceivers. They were enchanters. But there's one miracle worker that lived about 50 BC, about 50 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And this miracle worker, he was a prayer. And here's what Josephus says about him. He says he was a righteous man. And then he says he was beloved of God. Now the word in the Greek is Theophilus. He's beloved of God. He's loved by God. He's the only one that Josephus ever records of the miracle workers that's like that. So we're going to go back about 50 years before the birth of Christ this morning. First century BC, there was a devastating drought. Now, I don't know if you understand what a drought is. My wife and I, a couple years ago, we went out to Nevada and Arizona, and we were there at Hoover Dam. Behind Hoover Dam is Lake Mead. And Lake Mead is down probably about 150 or 170 feet from its original height. And they say it's about 1,075 feet deep today. But ladies and gentlemen, understand that on the west coast, the southern coast of our country, they consider that to be levels of a drought. And California and Nevada and Arizona, they're all trying to figure out what they're going to do as Lake Mead starts to dry up. Well, in the first century BC, there was a devastating drought. It had lasted for over a year. You say, how do you know that? It's because it's in the history books and in the Jewish book of legends. And there, the last of the Jewish prophets had died about 400 years before, and miracles were such a distant memory that people thought miracles were false memories. I don't know when the last time was that you had a memory in your life, but memories can, or miracles can be so distant that they can really seem false. It was the month of Adar. Now, we don't use Adar, do we? We use January, February, March, April. We use the Roman calendar. But if we go back to the Hebrew calendar, it was the month of Adar. This year, the month of Adar is going to be February the 26th to March the 25th. In other words, it's the end of winter and it's the beginning of spring. And what do we usually have at the end of winter and the beginning of spring? We usually have rain. And we have lots of rain, and they have lots of rain over there in the Middle East. But this particular year, there was a drought, and God was nowhere to be heard. The skin of the Jewish people around Jerusalem was wrinkled up, their lips were parched, their tongues were stuck to the tops of their mouths. And they didn't know what else to do. But there was this one man, this eccentric sage who lived outside of Jerusalem, whose name was Onias. Some people called him Ani, others called him Hani. He was a believer. He believed in God and he believed that people should pray. On some times in the past, they had asked Ani to pray for rain and rain came. And he still believed that even though the people had not heard from God, that God heard the people. If you've not heard from God in a long while, I want you to know that God still hears you. Every time you bow your head and pray, God hears you. I woke up this morning at 2:00 in the morning, couldn't go back to sleep, and I knew that God heard me because I went downstairs and started praying. And then I got to thinking, what in the world did I do with my case? How many of you have ever awakened in the middle of the night and you're looking for something and you couldn't find it and you can't go back to sleep? And so I was praying and said, God, you got to help me find my case. And finally, I woke my wife up and I said, honey, where's my case? And she says, it's in the car. I said, no, it's not. I've already looked. She said, well, it's in the truck then, because it's in one of the two. And I said, no, it's not in the truck. Well, you know what I did? After about 15 minutes of looking, I went out into the truck and I looked, and guess what? It was sitting exactly where my wife said it was in the truck. About 3:00 in the morning, I went back to sleep. But the people had not heard God, but Ani believed that God could still hear them. How many of you believe that God can still hear you? And God does still hear you. You pray for yourself, you pray for your family, you pray for your friends, you pray for your church, Turning Point, you pray for this a particular township that we're in right now, Madison Township. And they believed in Hani, and so the people of Jerusalem, they went out to him. You see, when rain is plentiful, it's an afterthought, but when rain is scarce or when there's a drought, it's the only thought. How many of you have ever been to the point and place in your life where what you were experiencing was your only thought? Last night, all I could think about was this case. Now, it's not that important, but that's all I can think about. This week, I've been thinking about a lady that's a friend of my wife and mine. She has lost, now listen to this, she has lost her mother and her father and her husband and her next door neighbor who was a close friend of hers in the last year and a half. And I pray for her. And I seek God to give her comfort and to give her strength. The people of Jerusalem, they were parched and they were dry and the water was gone. The historians tell us that it was so bad that year. Now listen closely. It was so bad that year that they thought a whole generation of Jews was going to die. And so they went outside the walls of Jerusalem and went to the man by the name of Hanani or Ananias for his ability to pray for rain. And it was on that day that he earned his nickname, or his moniker, we could say. His nickname is Hanani the Circle Drawer. And they said, Hanani, we want you to pray that the rain might fall. And here's what he said. See if you've got this much faith. He said, I want you to go out and bring the Passover ovens in so that they don't melt. You say, well, what are the Passover ovens? Those were the ovens that the Jews cooked the Passover lambs to celebrate the Passover feast. They were very important ovens, and they were made of clay. They didn't have written on them Kenmore or GE, and they weren't sturdy like the ovens in our homes. They were made of clay. And as soon as they asked him to pray, he said, go out and bring the Passover ovens in so that they be not softened. Historians tell us there was not a cloud in the sky. And the ovens, they would have just got wet and disintegrated, I guess. But he prayed. Hanani prayed for rain. And no rain came. There was still no clouds in the sky. And he had a staff or a walking stick. He prayed for rain and it did not rain, and he took his staff or his walking stick. And the story is recorded in the book of legends of the Jews. It's a history account. And he took his staff and he didn't look up at the people, but he began to draw a circle. He started out in front of him, and very methodically and very rhythmically, he stuck it in the sand and he began to draw a circle in the sand. He drawled all the way around to 90 degrees. And then he drawled and he kept drawing until he got to 180 degrees. His head was bowed and he wasn't looking up. He wasn't looking at anyone. He drawled until he got around to 270 degrees. Very methodically he drawled and he got around until he was 360 degrees. And when he got to 360 degrees, he did not look up. Rather, in that circle, he fell down on his knees. Now, I'm not going to do that. I've had two knee replacements. But he fell down on his knees, and when he got onto his knees, the historians say that he raised his hands in the air with his head bowed, and he began to pray. And he said, "Oh, Lord of the world, your children that have come to me are desperate." How many of you know somebody that's desperate? He said, "Oh Lord, your children that have turned their faces to me are desperate. And they realize that I'm like a son in your house." In other words, what he was saying there, they know that I am a member of your household. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many people, if they look at your life, do they say, "Oh, I know that person. I know they're a member of God's household"? They knew that Hanani was a member of God's household. And then here's what he prayed. Heads bowed, his head's bowed, his hands are in the air, he's kneeling in the circle that he's just drawn, and he says, "I swear by your great name." Now listen, the Bible says we are not to swear by anything. We're to swear neither by heaven above nor by the earth below. We're not to swear by anything. But Hanani, in his prayer, he said, "I swear by your great name that I will not stir from here until you have mercy on your children." Say, where did he come up with that idea? Well, it's found in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. In Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, "I will stand upon a watch." In other words, I'll stand on the watchtower and I will stand within a circle watching to see what God does. And there he knelt, hands raised in the air. And when he said those words, there was a shudder that went down the spines of all who were within earshot that day. It wasn't the volume of his voice. It was the authority of his tone. How many of you have been around someone and when they pray, you know they mean business with God? Honey meant business with God. He was sincere. His prayer was resolute and yet it was humble. It was confident and yet it was meek, ladies and gentlemen. It was expectant and yet it was very unassuming. And then, historians say, it happened. There was one cloud, and then there's another cloud, and then there's another cloud, and then it begins to sprinkle. They hadn't had rain for a year. The cisterns were dry, the lakes were dry, the riverbeds were dry. They were about to die of thirst. And as his prayer ascended to the heavens, the raindrops descended to the earth, and people said that if it had not been for Hani's relationship with God, God would have struck them all dead. Wow, it's a great story, isn't it? Not recorded in the Bible, but it's a great story, and it's the truth. It's not rewritten history, it's real history. They say that children began to dance in the rain. They say that parents threw their heads back and they opened their mouths and they wanted to catch what appeared to be a diamond that was falling from heaven because it was rain that they had not had in nearly a year. There was a gasp that swept across the thousands as they encircled Hani there. And everyone had turned their heads heavenward as the drops parachuted down and fell upon their tongue and upon their cheeks and upon their foreheads. They were rejoicing over every drop. How many of you would rejoice if God answered your prayer this morning? He still answers prayers. Amen. I'm speaking to you this morning on the subject, are your prayers as big as the God you pray to? Are your prayers as big as the God you pray to? So it began to sprinkle. Now remember, Hani's still kneeling in the circle. And he still has his hands raised toward heaven. And the historians say he still hasn't looked up and looked at the people. And the water's hitting him in the back of the head while it's hitting others on their face and on their forehead. And then Hani said these words. And this is recorded, it's a quote. He says, not for such rain have I prayed, but I have prayed for rain that will fill the cisterns and fill the pits and fill the caverns. And they say that it began to rain with violence. They say that it was a cloudburst. It was a proverbial downpour. How many of you have a Midland weather radio? I've got one at my house, and my wife won't let me keep it upstairs because it goes off, you know, in the middle of the night when there's going to be a storm and it wakes her up. So I have to keep it down in the basement. Now, I still hear it even though it's down in the basement. It lets me know there's a storm coming. If there would have been weather radios in that day, they would have been going off in every home around Jerusalem. If there would have been meteorologists in that day giving daily news, they would have been talking about the flooding that was taking place in the lower areas around Jerusalem. Historians say that the raindrops were small, but the largest ones, now get this, the largest raindrops were the size of the mouth of a flask. That's about 1.5 to 2 inches in diameter. I've never seen a raindrop the size of an egg. But it was raining raindrops the size of eggs. It rained so heavily and it rained so steadily that the Israelites, they had to get inside the temple walls of Jerusalem, and then they started heading up to the Temple Mount because the lower areas were starting to flood.
And the thousands that had gathered around Hani there, as Hani had gotten up out of the circle and he walked up to the Temple Mount with them. And they looked at Hani, and here's what they said to Hani. They said, just as you prayed for rain to come, would you pray for rain to go away? How many of you have ever prayed, God, pour it out on me? And then you prayed, I've had too much, God, turn the spigot off. That's what they're saying. I can't handle this, God. I've had too much, God, turn the spigot off. And so Hani prayed. These are his words, exact words. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of goodwill and mercy and graciousness. Now I want you to catch that. It's not for these egg-sized droplets of rain that I prayed, even though I did pray for the cisterns and the pits and the rivers to be filled. I have prayed for goodwill and blessings and graciousness. I want to challenge you this morning to pray for goodwill, blessings, and graciousness on your life. I want you to pray this morning for goodwill, blessings, and graciousness upon Turning Point Church. Amen? And goodwill and blessings and graciousness upon Madison Township. And goodwill, blessings, and grace upon Butler County. And goodwill and blessings and grace upon the United States of America. We need God's goodwill, blessings, and grace. Jesus taught we should always pray and never give up. Amen? Not because God is hard of hearing. I want you to know God is not hard of hearing. But we should always pray and we should never give up. Not because God needs to be pestered into answering our requests, because God doesn't have to be pestered. The Bible says, ask and you shall what? Receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God wants to answer your prayers. There's a poem I like that goes like this: when things go wrong, and they sometimes will. How many of you have ever had something go wrong in your life? Let me see your hand, real high. When things go wrong, and they sometimes will. When the road you're trudging seems all uphill. When funds are low and debts are high. When you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. Do not quit. I remember when Darren called me, and we talked for quite a while on the phone, and he found out that I had 20 years ago preached for 10 months at Trenton First Baptist Church, and he was there during that time, and he remembered me, and we got to talking about that time, and he thought I was the pastor, and he didn't understand when I left that I was only the interim pastor there. But we got to talking about that and talking about those great times back then, and then we got talking about your church, Turning Point. How many of you are glad you're part of Turning Point Church? Say amen. Did you pray for Turning Point last night? Did you pray for Turning Point this morning? Will you pray for Turning Point tomorrow? I like the old song. Now, I like these new songs that we sang this morning, but I like the old song, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord, since you told him your heart's hidden secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? That's exactly what Hani the circle drawer did. He stayed on his knees until God sent the rain. So our scripture this morning, Jesus is talking, it's in red letters. He says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Prayer.
There are three principles of prayer that you need to write down in your notes this morning. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God's not offended by your biggest dreams. Darren and I stood outside where your sanctuary is going to be a few weeks ago. He didn't know that I was doing it. But I was praying during that time because he was talking to me and I was talking to God. And I said, God, let it happen. That's a bold prayer. That's a big prayer. God's not offended by our biggest dreams. He's not offended by our boldest prayers. Let me tell you something about God that I've learned. I've learned that God is offended when we don't take bold prayers to Him. Only great prayers require God's intervention. Only great prayers. You remember Moses? He led the people out of their Egyptian bondage. He's standing with the Red Sea in front of him and the desert to the left and the mountains to the right, and the Egyptians are coming up behind because they want to take the Israelites and put them back in bondage. And Moses had what in his hand? A staff. I believe every Christian ought to have a staff. If you want a hickory staff like this, I can tell you where to get it. Moses took his staff and he held it out over the waters of the Red Sea, and he asked God to part them. And what did God do? God parted the Red Sea. Now that is a big and bold and mighty prayer. Joshua. In the book of Joshua, Joshua was fighting a battle with his armies, and the sun was about ready to go down. You might remember the story. And Joshua was afraid that if the sun went down, that his armies were going to be overtaken. And so Joshua prayed and he said, God, may the sun stand what? Still. According to the Bible, that for 24 hours, and the Bible says the sun and the moon stayed in their place. For 24 hours, the sun stood still and the moon stood still, and I really never understood what that meant till just yesterday. Yesterday, I left my house. I was traveling over to Fifth Third Bank, or over in that area, over in Eastgate, and I was looking out my windshield, and there was the moon. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was the sun. And I thought about Joshua. He was afraid that the enemy was going to overtake them in the dark, and he prayed and he said, God, don't let the light go out. Now, in order for that to happen, the earth had to quit what? Rotating on its axis. Scientists have determined that there is a 24-hour period that they cannot account for in the history of this world. It's that 24-hour period where the earth quit turning. That's a big prayer. That's a bold prayer. That's a mighty prayer. I want you to know this morning, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. The second thing is this, the second truth. The greatest moments in life are when human impotence or weakness and divine impotence or power meet. You see, when our weakness and God's strength intersect, or I should say the impossible becomes what? Possible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Staff in the air, right? God is ready. God is waiting. God is willing. And we are only one prayer away from a dream being fulfilled. You say, well, what's a big dream for Turning Point? That you get your sanctuary built? And you get it built debt-free? Let me say that one again. And you get it built debt-free? Amen. That'd be a big prayer, wouldn't it? That'd be a bold prayer. That'd be a mighty prayer. Oh God, help us to build this building a quarter mile down the road and to the left. And help us not to have any payments after it's done. Somebody ought to go, ooh. That's a honey type of prayer. Third point. If God be for us, who can be against us? If we don't believe this, now listen, if you don't believe if God is for you, then who can be against you? Then you will always pray little prayers. But if you believe in the big, the mighty, the powerful, the wonderful God that we have that created this universe, then friends, you will pray big prayers. At the bottom of your sheet this morning, I put a statement there that I believe with all of my heart. Prayers are prophecies. You say, Brother Cliff, what do you mean by that? They are the best predictors of our future. Who's in the White House is not the best predictor of our future. Who's in the state legislature is not the best predictor of our future. As God's people, prayers are the best predictor of our future. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Prayer helps us claim God's promises. Prayer helps us pursue God-sized dreams. Prayer helps us claim God-ordained opportunities. Prayer helps us to accomplish what we could not accomplish otherwise. Now, listen, God is not a genie in a bottle. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, if I wanted to pray that selfishly today, I'm just going to be real honest with you, all right? Blatantly honest. If I were to pray that, and some of you who are older will know what I'm talking about. If I were to pray that very honestly today, I'd say, Dear God, what I want to drive more than anything else is an Aston Martin DB5. You younger folks have no idea. But that was the car that Sean Connery drove in the 1963 movie Goldfinger. That'd be a huge thing for me to pray for because those cost over $1 million. But what does the Bible say? It not only says that we should ask what we will and it'll be given to us, but it says over there in Luke, as I shared with you earlier, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Now, if I were to have an Aston Martin DB5, I wouldn't be denying myself, would I? Not at all. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Getting what you want is not the goal. Bringing God the glory, church, is the goal. Amen. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Big prayers. There's great power. I wonder who this morning, you've got enough faith and you've got enough desire and you've got enough belief in God that you'd say, Brother Cliff, I want to have the kind of faith that Hani the circle drawer had. Remember? He drew the circle in the sand. And he didn't look up to see what was all around. you said, God, have mercy on your people. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith? I'm going to invite you this morning to have that kind of faith. Are your prayers as big as the God you pray to?